Here's something you don't see every day. A 48-foot-long sperm whale. It's dead. Its fire hose-sized intestines are exposed, and the whole mess is surrounded by a group of preschoolers in princess skirts and bunny ears. It's April, and I'm at a small beach in Pacifica called Maury Point. It's hot, a little windy, and definitely fishy. A lot of people are gathered around the whale. They inspect its internal organs, and some nervously poke its cracked flesh when no one is looking. There are selfies. Onlookers like Oren Zabast try to find the right words to describe the overpowering smell.
It's kind of a diapery smell. Like, it's like a really, really old, sour diaper that's been like you should have taken the trash out a week ago, but like a truck full of those.
Mostly though, people want to know how this animal died and if we had anything to do with it. Here's local John Batista.
It'd be interesting to see, you know, if we caused this instead of, you know, did it die of natural causes or did we cause it by polluting the ocean?
Or something else. A week after this one shows up, an orca ends up on a beach in Fort Bragg. A gray whale washes up in Half Moon Bay the following month, and then two more in Santa Cruz show up after that. More follow. But that sperm whale in Pacifica, it's a little different.
It's uncommon for us to have a deep water, offshore animal wash up on the coast. It's much more common to have gray whales or humpback whales.
That's Mo Flannery, the collections manager at the Department of Ornithology and Mammalogy at California Academy of Sciences. When a stranding is reported, Flannery and her team head to the site to perform a necropsy as soon as possible to try and get the freshest sample, usually the next day. They collect tissue samples of the whale to try and gather information on how it lived and how it died. For this whale, they also took out the whale's mandibles, or jawbones, complete with rows of teeth.
We can actually have the teeth cut in half, and then researchers can read the growth layer groups and be able to tell how old he was.
You may have seen whale bones in museums and aquariums. They're gunk-free. But preparing bone specimens is messy work. There's muscles and connective tissue and skin to clean off. There are different ways to do that. You can soak them in water and let bacteria break down the soft stuff. That's called maceration. You can also use flesh-eating dermastid beetles.
So the dermastids will eat the dried muscle off of the bones and you end up with nice clean bones.
Wow, what's that?
Flannery leads me to the part of the Cal Academy of Sciences where these processes take place. We have to exit the building and head to a facility in the back.
Oh, it is a little fishy.
It's outside because it smells bad. Welcome to what's informally called the Bones Lab. Step inside, and you know why. They're everywhere. Sea otter skulls macerating in buckets, bits of minke whale, snake skeletons being picked clean by dermastid beetles. There are bins of baleen drying in salt, and what looks like a murky, gurgling hot tub from hell.
This is our 300-gallon tank, where we put salt water from the aquarium that then we use salt water to macerate some of the specimens.
What is all that stuff?
That's grease that's coming out of the jawbone. That's then rising to the top of the water.
It's just part of the jawbone. Flannery estimates that these fused mandibles weigh somewhere around 900 pounds. They're too big to macerate and too big for beetles. So there's a third option, burying them.
The compost from the dirt material and the manure that's in the dirt, along with the bacteria from the mussels, will eventually break down the mussels.
For bones this big, it's going to take at least a year to be cleaned. Which begs the question, where do you bury two gigantic whale bones when you're located inside Golden Gate Park?
They're placed on the grass of the living roof, and then we covered it with manure and dirt and soil. You get the little juncos singing on the roof. And there's a black phoebe nest not far from where the mandibles are buried.
The roof of the Cal Academy is made up of small, verdant hills that insulate the building and capture rainwater. It all seems very Bay Area. Utilizing an eco-friendly roof to hide decomposing whale bones away from urban coyotes and scavenging raccoons, all for an educational purpose.
So there's a mound on the roof that has the mandibles, and it's beautifully planted now.
That sperm whale in Pacifica, we'll never know why it died. Its tissue samples were too decomposed for us to be able to figure it out. As Flannery sees it, the recent number of dead whales we've seen on our shores can't be linked to one central issue. They've died from a variety of human and non-human related causes, like ship strikes and fishing nets and orcas. And while these numbers of whale deaths are alarming for people to witness, according to Flannery, they can also be kind of a good thing. These strandings allow us to bear witness to the enormity of these creatures, to the totality of their death, and our role in their well-being. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Kingsley-Mah.